This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Sea Live.
CG Atlantic, I'm Commonwealth Building Supplies, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Sea Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Where I am, it's overcast, but you know, it's still a good day. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. All righty. So, hey, I have some thoughts on the continuing saga of FTX in the Bahamas, of Mr. Bankman-Fried and his activities in the Bahamas. But I have a question. Does Sam Bankman-Fried have a lawyer? Did FTX have a lawyer prior to all this? Does he have a lawyer, personal lawyer? Like, generally speaking, when you run into issues like this, like, you start lawyering up. That just makes sense, right? You know, when I used to watch LA Law and those, it was not uncommon for someone, and let's say these episodes were about some corporate malfeasance being alleged, and they would take the corporate guy into custody, and he would be before the police officers and asking questions. They'd be asking him questions, and he'd say, I'm not saying anything until my attorney comes. In other words, and the police would say, oh, so you're lawyering up, right? I recall recently someone giving a story of an incident that they were caught in by the police, and on the way to the police station, they called their attorney, and the attorney said, don't say anything. I mean, like, that's standard legal advice in the midst of an ongoing set of criminal investigations or civil lawsuits or the like. you don't say anything. You let your lawyers speak for you, or you speak when your lawyers ask you to speak. And if you're not certain as to when, what you should say, you lean over and you ask your lawyer, and the lawyer tells you, well, don't say anything, et cetera. So you've seen this played out by Donald Trump and members of his staff and others who have been hauled before Congress, giving testimony, and sometimes they even plead the fifth. Why? Because you don't want to say something that indicts yourself. Now, I keep reading things that Mr. Bankman-Fried is saying, texting, and I'm thinking to myself, does he have a lawyer? Does he have an attorney? And if he does he listen to the lawyer? Does he listen to the attorney? Are they telling him to say these things? Are they suggesting this is the way to go? Because so far, what he's saying isn't always helpful to himself, and certainly not to the regulators of our country, because now there's almost some specter of collusion that might be afoot between him and them being alleged to be. Why? Because of things he's saying. Who liberally talks at a time like this? You want to be strategic in your commentary. You want to give assurances where you can. You want to continue to declare your whatever. Yes, you might say you messed up, and you had, but messed up how? What's the details of messed up, and what does that mean for all your creditors and all your clients and all that, and the people what, you know, does he have a lawyer? Did anybody here did you hear anybody in the media that you hear that he has a lawyer, somebody who's guiding him? I understand he's still in the Bahamas, and now he's now expressing regret in declaring his chapter 11, I think it was, bankruptcy. But like, I'm assuming that filing was done through an attorney. So like, was that what his attorneys suggested? And now having suggested it, is he saying that they are now regretting having him gone in that direction? Or is he saying that he regrets that they gave him the guidance to go in that direction? Right? It's just really bizarre. It's really bizarre for me. You know, sometimes these issues are so huge, so magnificent. They happen on you, and they punch you in the gut. And honestly, you know, you're giddy. That's the right word for you. You really literally giddy. You're disoriented. You do things, you say things, and you react instead of responding. But I wonder to what extent, you know, he has an attorney who's guiding him. I really wonder. The other thing is that I'm starting to wonder is FTX was very generous in the Bahamas, very generous around the world, actually. And when you are as generous as FTX has been, you have to wonder the extent to which as things now unfold and legal proceedings move forward, you have to wonder now whether conflict of interest will begin to play a central role in things. Like, you know, where did FTX's checks land? Right? I mean, and you think about all the things that it's been involved with. You're looking at real estate, you're looking at accounting, you're looking at the legal world, you're looking at charities, you're looking at churches, you're looking at public institutions. All over the world, all over the place. And the extent to which these all then begin to play a role in how things get managed, handled here, and by whom, and when it becomes an issue of, should you be the one doing anything? Right? That's the issue. Because they in a very short time, FTX has placed its tentacles very, very far in this place. Let me tell you all something. Going to court is no joke. Okay, going to court is no joke. Generally speaking, they say if you could avoid court, avoid it, because you don't know what's going to pop up. You don't know what's going to result from the inquiries. You don't know what the other side is going to uncover. Look at how they are already mapping out all the legal tentacles of the corporate entities, checking out all the tweets and social media chats and all that kind of stuff. And that's just the stuff we know about that they are doing. When dots start getting connected, and when you go to court, man, listen, court is no joke. Court is no joke. And so we don't know where this is going to land. And so when I think about the extensive engagement that FTX has had in a short period of time throughout the country, I start to wonder. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our first break. We'll be back after this break.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Thinking of adding a little color to your house? Well, what are you waiting for? There's no better time to give your house a facelift than during the Colors Free promotion at CBS Bahamas. When you purchase Pride and Lambert paint from CBS, color is absolutely free. You heard it right. You don't get charged for mixing colors. Now you can paint the outside, the inside, and all the accent walls a different color and save big all at the same time. Who knows? You can use that extra cash to watch a movie, get some food, or even grab a coffee. Visit CBS Bahamas today in the Southwest Plaza, where color is free.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we're talking about FTX's legal circumstances. The intricacies of what FTX is dealing with are significant. They have an abundance of networks, et cetera. The people whose job it is to unravel that will unravel that. When you get in court, man, let me tell you, some people get forensic, all right? Especially when you're dealing with people's money. You know, they get forensic and, you know, they dig and dig and dig and uncover and uncover and uncover. And you don't know where things will land. It is important for us to, as we act officially, I'm not talking about the individual private things that we will do, but as we act officially, to bear in mind all of these things, you know what I mean? To check out and ensure that relationships that exist between FTX, its entities, and any entity, professional or otherwise, in the Bahamas does not raise a specter that could run afoul of any process that we are seeking to carry out here in the Bahamas. See this whole cryptocurrency space is peculiar, right? I am not, like, the notion of cryptocurrencies is not a fascination for me, nor a mystery to me. I don't need to be an expert on cryptocurrency. I don't know what an expert on cryptocurrency would even be, right? So I don't know, you know, the cryptocurrency is an effort to generate a non-centralized currency, okay? A blockchain undergirded currency. Currency for what? A medium of exchange for people, right? So that's all you do with a currency. You use it to store value, you use it as a system of measurement, or you use it as a medium of exchange. That's it. There's no mystery to it. Let's say that in the world, there's only you and me. That's it. Only us exist in the world. And we decided, and we live some distance away. We decided we wanted to trade with each other because you make rice and I grow chicken. So if we wanted rice and chicken, I have to get my rice from you. You have to get your rice from me and I have to get my chicken from you. Now we decide, okay, I only want two chickens from you. Now I have to figure out, what is two chicken worth in terms of rice? Is that a bale of rice? Is that two bales of rice? Is that three bales of rice? At some point, we come to settle on what it is. So let's say we settle on it's three bales of rice for one chicken. That means for me to get two chickens from you, I have to give you six bales of rice. But remember, we live a far distance. Now I have to find a way to take all this bales of rice all the way down to my home from your home. And you have to take your chicken from my chicken from you to me, right? But now let's just say somebody enters the country, our little country now, right? Our little world. And they say, you know what? I can transport those things for you. I could transport those for you all. So you just need to make your deal and I'll get them to you. But now I have to trust you that you're going to get this guy two chickens, and he's going to have to trust me that he's going to get three rice. And so now we're going to put our trust in this guy who's got to do the transporting, when he could just shoot off with all the chicken and all the rice. So, you know, we got to, at some point, this all becomes very clumsy as more things get added. So if we, as we go beyond rice and chicken, we might want butter and these kinds of things. So it gets clumsy. And so that form of trade where you're exchanging things for things is called barter. Right? So over time, what human beings created were ways of avoiding this kind of bulky, clumsy system of trade. And they started using things to represent value. So a coin could represent enough value to represent one chicken. And a coin could represent, therefore, three bales of rice. So in one coin, we have the valuation and representation of two things we need to trade that we can just now transport the coin. All right? And we could then do our transaction that way. That's called currency. That's what it is, called currency. In the more modernizing of this currency system, it used to be backed by gold. So literally my coin represented, or it could have been a gold coin, represented an absolute amount of gold. And so that was my sense of security in this thing that I held called money, right? But so that's currency. It's a medium of exchange. It allows for me and you to trade with each other without actually bartering and what have you. We work the distribution of the thing later on, but at least we have a system that allows us to trade without that bulkiness and clumsiness and complication of figuring out what value is equal to what value in things. So that's a medium of exchange. And then you have a store of value. So I have this dollar says I have a dollar and it's worth whatever it could purchase. So it stores value for me. Right? Now, some people will debate the extent to which a currency could do that, but for simplicity, that's what it does. And then it becomes a form of measurement. So my $1 becomes a representation of one bale of rice, right? Cryptocurrency is, but what we have now are currencies that are issued by the state through central banks. And essentially, the value of those currencies are not backed by anything. They're not backed by gold. They're not backed by silver or anything real. They are backed by the goodwill and trust and confidence people have in the state. That's why you see on that currency, this is legal tender. That means the state tells the whole country, you have to accept this as a form of payment. That's why I can't imagine. I see people, listen, store owners, somebody needs to come down on you because this nonsense about not taking a $100 bill, not taking a $50 bill because you're scared of counterfeit is absolute nonsense. It is in defiance of the very thing that's written on those pieces of paper called currency. It is legal tender. You are obligated to take it. Obligate. I've called the central bank on you all on any number of times. It's nonsense. It's ignorant. Oh, well, I don't want to get the victim of a counterfeit. There are ways to get around that. I mean, the central bank and those take great pains to introduce all kinds of security measures to be able to do that. There are pens and devices that allow you to do it. It's nonsense to inconvenience the trading system because you have an irrational fear of taking a counterfeit currency. You are denying and defying the very essence of our legal tender. The fiat that says, the state says, I stand behind this issued thing. And that's all it is. That's all the value is based on. Nothing other than trust. Trust in the state, not trust in me and you. Trust in the state. I take it in the bank, and the bank give me a dollar back. I take it to the store, and the store give me something equal to the amount of stuff, currency I give them. Nothing other than good faith. That's called fiat money. It's backed by something. So people get this blockchain technology, and somebody decides, nobody can tell you who he is, where he is, what he is, that I create this currency. The first one, it was the grandfather of them all, Bitcoin. Using blockchain technology, I create this thing. I just created a thin air. Who am I? You're not a state. You're not a government. I don't know if you have a nickel or dime to your name. And this is going to replace all the issued currency in the world one day. And somebody somehow gets to people the notion, this is it, this is it, this is going to be the next great thing. This is going to, and people start trading and buying and selling and driving up the price of it. And so it was 2 cents before, and now it's $300,000, and everybody's excited, and I'm going to get rich. And this is now the new thing. It ain't that complicated. It's a medium of exchange created out of thin air under the premise that it one day will replace all this fiat currency in the world. That's what it is. What I need to know, traders, the traders who trade in cryptocurrency aren't trading the cryptocurrency because they have any technical deep knowledge of cryptocurrency. They're trading something that people believe has a value. So they have buyers and sellers, and they're creating a platform for buyers and sellers to buy and sell a thing that they said was wonderful because there was no middleman and no central man guiding the thing. In fact, you and I could trust each other because the thing has a peer-to-peer verification system. Somebody figure, listen, let me tell you how it works. This is what they do. It's called arbitrage. So let me tell you how arbitrage works. Somebody spotted a Bitcoin in the U.S. selling for $100. But then they looked over in the U.K., and someone else was offering the Bitcoin for $150. So the bugger say, I'm going to buy the $100 Bitcoin in the U.S. and I'm going to sell it in the U.K. and I'm going to net $50. That's called arbitrage. And that's the game they're playing. They're not playing a game about something that is going to feed the world, heal cancer, cure diseases. That's not the game they're playing. It's no real value. They're playing a game of one day this thing is going to be big. And guess what? It's big now because one day I think it's going to be big. Why is it big now? Because I think one day it's going to be big and I drive up the price and it becomes big, but it's not doing anything to actually validate that it is big. Thin air. Value out of thin air, backed by no one, so that when it collapses, you could have $32 billion today. When it collapses, you have absolutely nothing. Nothing. How is that possible? I want you to see on the stock market, value can evaporate like that. Why? Because it's based on the same premise, nothing but optimism and hype, and oftentimes, though, backed by at least some real business. That at the end of the day, when the value falls, it will fall to a value at least representative of the real book value of the business. When cryptocurrency falls, it's falling or back on what? On a fellow who invented it, who nobody knows. Nobody knows who it is. All right. So the currency, the cryptocurrency as a phenomenon for economists, there's no mystery about what that is. What is a mystery It's how you can hold it in your hand if you're a regulator and things fall under the car tire. What you can freeze? What you can hold on to? Guess what? Let me come back and tell you what you could hold on to. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang Yost.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Hey, Bill, glad to see you back in the office.
Who?
Bill.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think you're mistaking me for someone else.
Tom.
Nope.
Jack.
No.
Alex.
No. Want me to just tell you?
Nope, I got this, George.
No, you don't. Still not me.
Adam.
Not even close, man.
We're like a coworker that didn't forget your name. CG Atlantic Agents and Brokers. Good like that.
Okay, good to see you, Mark Mike Johnson.
It's Mordecai.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns like 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We have some text here. This text says, Shivago, you said cryptocurrencies are backed by the state, but I presume you meant CBDCs. Now, my friend, if you heard me say cryptocurrencies are backed by the state, did somebody else hear me say that? If you heard me say that, it was quite an accident. I said cryptocurrencies are backed by nothing. I said real fiat currency. Maybe you missed that. Fiat, F-I-A-T, currency is backed by the state. And by the state, I mean the Central Bank of the Bahamas is a component of the state. It's not controlled by the government. The government is a part of the state. The courts are a part of the state. The legislature is a part of the state. The civil service is a part of the state, the central bank. So I'm talking about the state now, not the government. Okay, so don't get it mixed up. When I mention the state, I mean the Bahamian state, that legally, internationally recognized entity. Okay, the current, that's why it's called the Bahamian currency, not the central bank's currency. It's called the Bahamian dollar. And so if you heard me say that it was backed by that cryptocurrency is backed by the state, that was clearly a mistake on my part. But I don't think I did say that, okay? We have another text here says, the idea of regulation is an anathema to many in the world of cryptocurrency. Bitcoin was born from a whimsical idea of a new form of monetary autonomy, free from the manipulation of government and central banks. Instead, it has spawned thousands of pretenders and developed primarily to serve two key functions, to act as a cover for money laundering and terrorism financing, to provide fertile ground for scammers trying to fleece investors, all while causing huge environmental damage through the electricity required to mine coins. As a means of exchange in ordinary commerce, they're all but useless. Absolutely true. Most are hideously expensive to use, and given the wild fluctuations in value, offer no security on pricing. Long touted as a store of wealth, they have instead become a monument to wealth destruction. In the past year, they have burnt around U.S. $2.5 trillion. That's $3.75 trillion of investor wealth. The ultimate irony is that crypto heroes like Bankman-Fried, for all their proposed love of the new digital future, measured their success in gold off old, good old-fashioned fiat currencies, mostly U.S. dollars. Why would that be? Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Crypto, blockchain, tokenization, etc. is all technology, digital and data. I have been in the industry for 46 years, and I am afraid of being called an expert because I can, at best, only be called an expert on yesterday's technology. That is how fast technology changes, even if it is unknown to the supposed experts. Very well written and said. This text is from Slang. Honestly, Sam Bankman-Fried has nothing to worry about because none of these dinosaurs in power now know anything about cryptocurrency and its workings in the country. The Securities Commission is a laughingstock, and we are here talking about chicken and rice in the Bahamas. Well, let me tell you something, man. You know what? If I had realized that this was you, I really would not have read that. I thought there was some sensibleness in it, but what you just wrote is just really ignorant. Absolutely ignorant. And you know what? I'm gonna block you because I don't like your hating, hateful stupidness. Right? When we're trying to talk sense. You're ignorant. Barter is a form of trade where you talk about chicken and rice, but you're so brilliant, you don't know that. So I'm gonna block you so that you could not waste my time. Because I take the liberty to read all these texts, but I don't want to waste time anymore. Okay? Says, okay, quite possible that I misheard you. I knew what you meant, but wanted to let you know in case you inadvertently said the wrong word. Yeah, if I said that, it would definitely have been an error, because it's definitely not backed by the state. Okay? So the notion of these cryptocurrencies as currency, that's not the issue. And this that person who's insulting people with his ignorance, right, is demonstrating his ignorance because he doesn't know and understand cryptocurrency either, because cryptocurrency ain't that technically difficult to understand. It's not. Get real. Cryptocurrency is a recent invention in human history. And it's only a technology. It's only a digital asset. That's all it is. And so you want to insult the Securities Commission and insult these people because they don't know? Nonsense. You're ignorant. You're the ignorant one. You don't know. You don't understand. By your statement, you don't understand. Right? It's not that technical. It's just it's passing itself to be a currency, unmanaged by the states. That's all it is, and it is, as a medium of exchange, as the person said, useless, because nobody is broadly accepting it. It's not that widely accepted in the world, and all the people who keep getting rich, that person is headed right on. How are they getting rich? By banking fiat currency. So this is what I wanted to tell you all. Freeze what assets. What cryptocurrency is there to freeze? FTTs, the tokens of FTX, ain't worth squat today. Much of the cryptocurrency in the world has diminished in value. Hold on to what? You know what they could hold on to? I want you all to listen to this now. Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. All you people who keep getting excited about cryptocurrency as a replacement for fiat currency, here is what the asset freezers can freeze. Land, that's real. Anything that FTX holds in the way of land can be frozen, held. Land, cash in the bank, not tokens, cash in the bank. What else? What else can be held? Buildings, furniture, cars, bought with what? Fiat currency, bank accounts, with deposits of what? Cash, securities held in real companies, bought with what? Cash, fiat currency, bonds owned by government, issued by governments, bought with what? Fiat currency. You ask any U.S., Bahamian, or other regulator, well, how much token you're holding on to? And how much is that token worth? Because if the token was worth all that much, Mr. Man could just go and pay the people he owe in the token. Ain't that right, Juan? If they had $8 billion of value in hallelujah cryptocurrency, FTT in those, they could just pay the people in those tokens. But guess what happened? When this all broke, the value of that token went to nothing, almost practically. So what you holding? What you freezing? When the liquidators liquidate, I see them scrambling. They have an argument between the court in the Bahamas and the court in the liquidator in the Bahamas and the liquidators and the people, the CEO and them. What you think they can be arguing and fussing over? Them tokens? You think that's what they can be fussing over? Sam Bankman-Fried is now trying to raise funds to pay his debts. What are you trying to raise? Fiat money or bitcoins? What are you trying to raise? He's trying to raise fiat money. Same money that everybody say, so I'm going to start. The liquidators here, when they liquidate, what are they liquidating? What did they put up for sale? Was it tokens or was it a condominium in Albany? And what are they asking to get for it? Tokens? Or are they asking to get fiat money for it? Wake up. Wake up. Say, so much food for thought, Mr. Lang. Greatly appreciated. Please keep up the great work, sir. Also, great idea to block that idiot. Clearly, they were not paying much attention. Says, SBF $16 billion value was based on FTT token. That's right. The next day, the token was worth this, and its value plummeted to $15 billion plus. Oh, you mean plummeted by? Yeah. So only his real-world assets were supposed to be worth $900 million. Absolutely. And that's the only thing they could freeze, and that's the only thing anybody could bank on. But cryptocurrency, that's the next thing, my friend. Put your money in that. I'm sorry about the people who are going to suffer significant loss, you know, but I'm being a bit dramatic to drive home the point, right? Which is that the issue of the cryptocurrency is not the issue here. That's not the real issue. It's not the technology, it's not the cryptocurrency, because what is happening in cryptocurrency has happened in numerous other bubbles. And I'm going to talk to you about some of those when we come back. Many, many bubbles in history based on just enthusiasm, optimism. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat. We're going to take a break from news. We'll be back after news.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So, I was saying before the break that this issue of FTX and the cryptocurrency, it's not complicated in terms of cryptocurrency and what a cryptocurrency is. You know, if you understand the blockchain technology, you understand how it is used to generate a cryptocurrency, the rest of it is economics. Okay, the rest of it is just sheer financial knowledge. It's not trading knowledge. It's not complicated, right? You live in this world where someone convinced you that it's complicated. You stay right there. So it's fine, no problem. But the cryptocurrency is not the issue. What happened with FTX could have happened with any other thing, right? And it has happened with other things in history, right? In the 1600s, there was the tulip bubble. These are bubbles. What happens is there's something that gets birthed. Something. It's a tulip. It's a railway. It's some asset. Something gets birthed, right? And then around that birth, because someone tells a story about how magnificent this thing is, then excitement brews around it. And so in that excitement, people start clamoring for it. People start getting really, really enthused about it, and a euphoria builds, and people are buying. And anytime you are buying something that there is a limited supply of, the price of that thing goes up and 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 up. And what do we say about everything that goes up? Must come down. So there's this euphoria, and people go, and you get this boom. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking about it. And so you go from having a $1 million to having $32 billion. And everybody's excited to be with you. And everybody wants to take a picture with you. And everybody wants to be on your side. And everybody wants to do business with you. And then something happens. Someone discovers that the thing that you are holding as an asset actually has abundantly less value than the value that people are paying for the thing. And they soon start to sell. And what happens? Y'all remember Trading Places? The rich folks were telling their broker, sell. What started happening? The price went down. Now, Eddie Murphy Lewis had bought it up when it was at the peak. And so as the price went down, they waited till it got to a certain price, low. And then Eddie Murphy then decided to buy. So they bought low and they sold high and made a ton of money. So the people who are in the thing in the boom period, they make all the money. All the people who come behind, they lose a ton of money because the bubble bursts. That could happen with anything. It's happened with tulips in the 1600s. It happened with the South Sea, China South Sea Company in the 1700s when they were supposed to get this monopoly from the British. And everybody thought there would be a big bunch of money made like was made with the Indian East Indian Company. It was the same thing with the real estate market in Japan in the 1980s, the dot-com in the 1990s. So practically every decade, the U.S. housing bubble in the 2000s, every decade we have had some story like this. It's just been playing itself out. Because why? Because human beings can be as gullible as hell, greedy as state you can find, as ignorant and clamorous as you can get. And somebody sees them coming and bang. When that thing, when that needle pricks that bubble, all kinds of people fall down and it's terrible. Terrible. But it's not about the cryptocurrency. It's about the behavior around the currency. It's about the riskiness, the greed, but the potential fraud around the thing and how it leads to a commingling of funds and how it leads to a taking of assets and utilizing it for risky purposes that were not intended. And how at the end of the day, the administration of the thing may not have been organized and orderly and requisite or representative of the level of sophistication that one would expect in an enterprise as large as this one was purported to have been. That's what it's about, human behavior affecting. Listen, if people had looked at cryptocurrency and in this instance, say FTT coins and what have you, and FTX, and said, you know what, this is a pretty good idea. You know, the cryptocurrency represents a possible opportunity for serving as a currency with wide circulation, possible. But I want to moderate my enthusiasm. So I don't mind playing with it. So I got a couple $1,000. I'll put a couple $1,000. I'm not going to put $50 million. I'm not going to put $2 million. So maybe Bankman-Fried ends up with a company valued at maybe $1.2, maybe $2-3 billion. And I'm modestly operating. And people who are supposed to check are checking to make sure that the corporate governance protocols are in place, that the risk management protocols are in place, and that all of the procedures are in place that should be in place to help mitigate the risk. But all the while, there's not this euphoria about it. There's not this overwhelming grasp of this great genius of a man, young man, doing marvelous things to save the world through this crypto exchange. And then maybe we're good, you know, and even if things fall apart, they don't fall apart in this spectacular way. But that's not how we operate sometimes as human beings. We want fancy cars. We want big houses. We want expensive villas. We want beautiful condos on the beach overlooking the ocean. And we want fancy watches and we want expensive clothing and we want to take elaborate trips and we want to eat fancy dinners, and nothing's wrong with that, nothing whatsoever. If God put me in a position to do all that, I've done some of that sometimes, you know, at the generosity of others sometimes, but I've done some of that, not on my own dime. The other day I took my son to a high-end restaurant in Bahama because I wanted to give him that experience. I did it for my other children too when they were younger. So I don't mind that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem. If your child or you wants to be as wealthy as God could create, I'm good with that. But if that drive causes you to throw caution to the wind, causes you to act in unethical ways, causes you to do things that put other people's lives and fortunes and jeopardy, you're in the greed package. And you have a problem, right? And so the idea is that moderation and modesty provides us with the ability to operate so that we're not going to cause ourselves and other people harm. So this is what surrounded the thing. It's human behavior, human conduct. Right? And this is what is being investigated. These are things alleged as to mismanagement, alleged as to improper behavior. By Sam Bankman-Fried's own words, that he messed up in his calculations of things, in his interaction between Alameda Research and FTX. And so this is the thing. This is this that cryptocurrency isn't, and to my mind, going anywhere. I think it'll still linger out there because it still has real possibilities as a digital asset. But the behaviors of the FTXs of this world, trust me when I tell you, all kinds of companies, not just in the crypto space, in all kinds of spaces, are reevaluating and reassessing the way they behave because of what has happened. His text says, good day, Mr. Lang. I guess that's maybe what he was banking, that intrigue and enthusiasm that's in the market at the moment. Yeah, that's what you bank on. That's how, basically every investor banks on that, you know. Every investor, not just in the crypto space. Every investor banks on, people are going to be excited about my product. People are going to be excited about my service. Think about your own product or service. Anybody who's out there buying or selling, wouldn't you like the world to get absolutely horrendously excited about your product or service? You would. But boy, let me tell you, can you calculate the headaches you get when that happens? Yes, you may amass great wealth, but it also comes with enormous challenges, right? This text says, thanks. I was having a conversation with a few and one suggested you are a leader of a... Oh, this is a different story. Sounds like a pyramid scheme, greedy and looking to get rich quick. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would put it in that category, but it says FOMO, fear of missing out. Yep. So FBF company Alameda is accused of doing both. More often than not, betting against the clients they represented. Remember your question, why lies so believable? Yeah. So we have some more text here. So did you have time to listen to one show? A couple of things struck me. The new CEO took 2 days to unravel this thing. CZ took 24 hours. The SC still hasn't given a comprehensive statement. Why should the SC give a comprehensive statement on it? Why now? Yeah. So the new CEO says this is the worst violation of regulatory controls he's ever seen, and he's mentioned a state actor. If we're talking about reputation, somebody better start taking this seriously and disabuse ourselves of any notion that we can hide what happened. I'm with you, my friends. Chicago, this guy, FTX, was linked up all over the world. He just get caught up in the Bahamas, just like the barefoot bandit. This text says, Mr. Lang, the web that this FTX saga has sown is enormous. For being in existence for just such a short time, the young man is being paraded around the world as a Ponzi operator, as a former officer of the court. Some spectacular information can emerge. My only concern is the reputational damage to our country. That's a real concern. Since an expert in cryptocurrency will most likely have a hacking background and can read and write code, yes. But as you said, these are really fundamental buyer and seller or traders of commodities, but no one side you use fiat. The USD is backed by oil, the US petrodollar, thanks to Reagan. Really, come on. Okay. Hey, Brother Lang, we know that his level of intelligence keep you, you're calm. Don't allow him lull your energy. That's all right. Sometimes I'm a human being. I'm allowed to get ticked off sometimes. So don't, but that only lasts a while. Says, good day, Mr. Lang. This question may be off topic, but if so, maybe you can please answer at another time. Can you sell real estate in the Bahamas, but tell the buyer that the land can only be paid for in US dollars? No, you could, yeah, you can tell somebody what currency you wish to be paid in for a transaction. You can do that. And it's up to them whether they want to do it. So yes, you can do that. I can say, listen, don't pay me in US dollars. You can pay me in pound sterlings. When it comes in though, you're gonna have to send it into the central bank, right? So because of our exchange controls, but you can state that. You all can have that as your agreement. Your agreement can state that buyer will pay in French currency or US currency or whatever. You can do that. Says, can anyone tell us how and when Prince Hepburn was released? I don't know. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Shanae's Chesapeake Road Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get your Christmas trees in pink, frosted, green, or white in a variety of sizes. Musical Christmas LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments, lighted angels and Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls in all sizes, garlands, wreaths, tree skirts, stockings, and lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Shanae's Chesapeake Road. Check our selections online at www.shanae's.com.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful. But that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I wonder if you all realize something, right? That the nature and tenor of my talks about this matter, no matter how excited I get, is really an effort to bring you into a headspace to grasp the fundamental issue of control for yourself and myself, and the extent to which our country can exercise some control. So, you know, you can't control what a Sam Bankman-Fried does. Even if he comes in and is the most brilliant, wonderful human being on planet Earth, one day, like any one of us, you can wake up and make a decision that's just totally off, even off character. We know that. Like you said, people say to me, that's not in his character, right? He was kind of off. That could happen, right? So, but you can't control that. You can't control what the regulators do. You can't control what any employee does. You can control what you do. What can you do? You can examine the happenings in the world. This is where clarity of mind comes. This is where clarity of thinking comes. This is how you get clarity of thinking. You get as much knowledge as you can, as much relevant knowledge. Some people just get, you want relevant knowledge to a situation. And when you get that relevant knowledge, you are asking the question, insofar as your own behavior is concerned, if I do this, based on that relevant knowledge that you have systematically examined and looked at, what is likely to happen? That's the best you can do. So you got knowledge of cryptocurrency, you got knowledge of XDX, you got knowledge as much as you can of what it is that you're doing, and then you've examined it, that knowledge systematically to try to bring yourself to as much understanding as you can, and then as to your own actions, you say, if I do this, what is likely to happen? Maybe you make the plunge and what you thought was likely to happen doesn't happen. But you did it with a clear mind though. And you have asked yourself, if this doesn't happen as I think it will, how much do I stand to lose? And can I afford to lose what I might lose? And if the answer is yes, I mean, it'll hurt, but I can afford to do it. Then when you have suffered that loss, you'll say, okay, I knew I could lose that. And I could live without what I've lost. But if the answer is, no, I can't afford to lose my rent money, I can't afford to lose my mortgage money, I can't afford to lose my home, then I'm not going to make that plunge. So that's about what you can do, what I can do, right? And the rest of our understanding is about maybe what the state has done, what the state can do. Okay? And so, for instance, the Bahamian state has decided, based on whatever information it has, it needed to freeze assets and hire and appoint a liquidator and to make sure that whatever happens with those assets now has to go through a court proceeding to say, yes, liquidator, you can dispose of this. Yes, liquidator, you can pay that with that asset from, yes, you can do that. Much of that, to my mind, ain't gonna be about no tokens. Them tokens ain't worth squat. Much of that asset now is gonna be about other things. Now, don't let nobody fool you. It is conceivable that people will try to get access to those tokens, because who knows? Someday, maybe the asset rebounds and someone comes to hold it. And then all of a sudden, they're holding something that is of some value, right? That's possible. So you have to take precautions to ensure that that kind of thing doesn't happen as well. Right? But these legal proceedings will run their course. These very smart lawyers, they'll battle it out. They'll argue here, they'll argue there. Maybe they'll win here, they'll win there. The Bahamian courts having acted, you know, because you can't, as far as I'm aware, and I could be dead wrong, but I don't think I am, the Securities Commission and them can't get your assets frozen without a court order. So you got to go to a court and you got to make a case. Listen, if we're going to protect potential customers from any significant loss beyond what may have happened already, we need to ensure that these assets cannot be disposed of at the whim and fancy of the operators. And you make that case to the court, and the court says, yes, you go ahead, and the law says that you have this authority and power to do, and the court then issues their ruling. And I have that court order too. I mean, you know what the court's can do and has done, and it's given the Securities Commission the permission to do precisely what it's done. Not to my mind and not to my understanding, in breach of the U.S. courts at all, not in contradiction of the U.S. courts at all, but have done so in pursuit of the protection of the clients of FTX. So the idea is to give us information that arms us and helps us to understand for the future. You can't do nothing now. If you didn't buy, you buy. If you're going to lose, you can lose. That's done, right? It's about the future now. About be sure of this. Cryptocurrency, that's just one thing. Next something coming to excite everybody. You could be sure as that. I guarantee you, one day, maybe I won't be here, somebody else will be on this radio or these radios, and they'll be talking about the next thing everybody thinks is going to be the big thing in the Bahamas. I have my idea about what's going to be a really big wealth maker in the Bahamas. A couple of things, I believe, are going to be really big wealth makers in the Bahamas. I really do. Somebody's going to crack that code. And it's going to change the landscape of wholesale and retail trade in the Bahamas. I believe that. And, you know, but those very real, potentially big things are never the thing that actually causes the problem. It's about human behavior around those possibilities. Remember the gold rush? Remember, the black diamonds, right? This is not the gold that's causing the problem. It's not the diamond that's causing the problem. The gold is in the earth. The diamond is in the earth. They ain't bothering nobody. People are trying to bother them. And it's the behavior around the asset that becomes the problem. It's what people do in contravention of good corporate practice, of good ethical practice, of good business practice. That is what causes the problem. We human beings acting out of our, some might say need, some might say greed, sometimes our just exuberant ambition. That's where the problem comes in. And Sam Bankman-Fried and his colleagues, these are people. These are young people. dreaming, starry-eyed, wanting to perhaps change the world, believing they can change the world, seeing an opportunity. And he saw an opportunity. He saw it. This is where perhaps you might see a genius evolve from him, right? And I've always been fascinated by this. Not just in foreigners. I've seen it in the Bahamas too. I've seen Bahamians who they just like, their observational skills are really keen. They have the ability. You and I can be walking around the Bahamas, buying and selling, buying our stuff and just buying and living our lives and doing what we do. They walk around the Bahamas and they spot something. They see a trend. They see a pattern. They see a possibility. And they think to themselves, you know what? There's real money to be made in that. I could make some real money. And they have done it. They made big millions in Bahamians. I didn't say Americans. I didn't say Canadians. I didn't say British people. Bahamians make big money spotting grand opportunities. And these are the people who don't come on the radio and complain about what the government is or is not doing. They don't complain about what the foreigner is or is not doing. They don't come on the radio and say, oh, we selling the Bahamas out and we selling the Bahamas cheap. And so that's not what they're doing. They observe. They think. They analyze. They plan. They execute. And they make the money. And a lot of them... A lot of them don't show the money like you always show your money. They just keep that quiet to themselves. Right? And those possibilities are going to continue to abound. They exist today. I can't. Honestly, I see like one or two, I think, possibilities. And even sometimes when you see a possibility, maybe you can't deliver on it. That's true. You just don't have the wherewithal. You could try. I tried my hand at some businesses. They've done well, some for a while. But then I just didn't have what it takes to push it to that next place, right? Sometimes I said that maybe you need to it on the second try, maybe on the third try, Walt Disney, who failed four businesses before Disney World became what it became, you know what I mean? The Carnegie and them came to almost bankruptcy before they blew up and became among the wealthiest people on planet Earth. They just have that ability. Not everybody does. And so I think with Sam Bankman-Fried, he saw this crypto exchange space as an opportunity to put turbo engines on his hedge fund. And he, with boldness and brashness, he just went after it. He went and chased it. But as I say to clients that I have had, when it is possible that your business can grow larger than your capacity to manage it, not to continue to grow it, because there are some people who are in business, they are brilliant, and they can keep growing and growing a business, but every business has a certain infrastructural requirement as it grows. And that requirement, it changes and expands. The larger the business is, the more complex the business is, your infrastructure has to change. And so while you could have managed it when it was maybe a $1 million gross revenue business, you had the couple of employees and you and your folk could do it, that was okay. But when it gets larger and larger and the complexities and the issues continue to mount, now this is the one reason why people hire professional management, because they are looking for people who are full-time dedicated to ensuring that the systems are in place to maintain the operation with the level of integrity that delivers the service to the customer, that ensures that the internal customers of the company are also taken care of, and ensure that there are not things being done that put at risk the operation itself, while you as owner go out there and keep envisioning and strategizing for expanding the business. And that's what I think happened to Bankman-Fried, that the growth was spectacular. The expansion was spectacular. And he had no infrastructure to properly accommodate what happened. And one of those infrastructures would have been corporate governance protocols that checked his own behavior, checked his decision-making. So you have a board. I sit on boards, and the owners of the board, the CEOs of the company, they would come to the boards of the director meetings, boards of directors meeting, and they will say, you know, we're thinking about doing this and that and next thing. And the job of the directors is to ask hard questions. Is that proper? Is it legal? Is that putting at risk assets too unduly? What if X, Y, and Z happens? That's the job. It might be, for an owner, irritating, but it's a safeguard. It's a way of protecting the owner, protecting the company, protecting the staff, protecting the customers, protecting the creditors, protecting all the stakeholders of the company. Stack says, Mr. Lang, that is so true. I have what I would consider a microbiz. I sell items online for local customers. In recent times, there have been a huge increase in requests, but unfortunately, demand is greater than I can manage at this moment. I keep having to decline sales because it's just me. This is a problem that happens in all businesses. Absolutely. It's a good problem. It's what we call the good problem. So now you have got to find the infrastructure to accommodate the increased demand, if that is what you seek to do. And so you might say, well, you know, I don't know how to do that. And so maybe you go to find someone who helps you put that infrastructure in place, because it's a good problem to have. It's a great problem. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to ignore the realities as you are not doing, because you are conceding that you don't have the infrastructure and you're not taking on new business. That's very wise. But it is a problem perhaps that you can solve. And so, you know, maybe there's some people whose job that is to help put that infrastructure in place, because you don't want to lose that opportunity. Expansion is a great thing. It just has to be managed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down.
Can't complain, Marsh the car?
I ain't Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
Remember when Zoom was just for sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we have a text here. This person says, we can hold them to a standard, though. I think they are talking about the people who come in. First of all, it depends on what you mean by hold them to a standard. If by that you mean we can set a standard, which is what we do in our legislation, the legislation that says you have to have this in place, you have to have that in place, you have the next thing in place, you know, yes, you can do that. But can you make somebody not violate your standard? Can you? Okay, let's try that experiment. Thou shalt not murder. Is that not in the the standard in the law in the Bahamas? It is it not? Thou shalt not rape. Thou shalt not steal. Are those not standards? Yes, they are. So we have held up a standard, but do people still murder? Do people still rape? You say, you know, you shouldn't mingle, commingle client funds in certain circumstances. That's the law. That's the standard. Do people not still do it? That's why you have courts to prosecute, because people violate. If merely having a standard made people keep the standard, we would have no need for police officers and courts. But the fact is, people do. So, yes, we should have a standard and we should enforce the standard, but we cannot control people's behavior in violating our standards. That's why we have policing and court systems, so that when you are in breach, you know, that's why the Apostle Paul said, the law is not for the lawless. It's not. Lawful people, people who are going to do the right thing, don't have a need for a law. They are not going to murder. They are not going to rape. They are not going to steal. You have a law for the unlawful so that they can know that they have breached a standard and they can be prosecuted in accordance with that breach. But it is a mistake to believe that merely setting a standard will create for us utopian reality where we're not going to have a Sam Bankman-Fried, FTX, have a situation such as we have. It's not going to happen, right? For the most part, we have the level of integrity in our systems we have because people are prepared to comply, voluntarily comply with the system. And I say voluntary because while people do it because they don't want to be prosecuted, they still volunteer to do it because there are people who could say, I the hell with all of that. I don't care. And I am going to do what I want to do anyway. Isn't that what... anyway, let me leave them people alone. Let me leave them people alone. I can tell you one thing. I was joking with my good friend and host of... brother host one the other day. I said, boy, must be no more inflation, eh, in the world. We ain't talking about price control. We ain't talking about minimum wage. We ain't talking about national insurance. We ain't talking about illegal immigration. We ain't talking about none of them things. Something just running my head just now. I'm tempted just to be a little facetious, tempted to say it, I just I just fear if, oh, wow, that's something now. Anyway, I can tell my friends that off here. That's something. Wow. So, again, I don't know that I'm going to talk about this much anymore. It's going to play itself out. And the chips are going to fall where they may or they may not. I think it's been a big wake-up call. Big wake-up call. For lots of people. Not only in terms of what kind of things like this can happen, but in terms of all this enthusiasm, all of this euphoria, all of this excitement around something that most people couldn't explain to you what the real value and excitement is about. Couldn't. And this is the, these are some of the people who actually invested in it, couldn't explain it to you. Did you all hear that Steph Curry and Shaquille O'Neal have been named in some $10 billion lawsuit associated with this? With the same FTX thing? I saw that somewhere. There's some big names associated with the FTX debacle, right? But the Sports Illustrated is carrying the story that Tom Brady, Steph Curry, Shaquille O'Neal, all athletes facing lawsuits in the FTX debacle. Why? Because they're described as boosters. They are as people who were promoting the thing and getting people. Isn't that interesting? So someone like you get excited about something. These athletes get excited like you about something. And they believe in it, and then they go and promote it, and it fails, and now you're going to sue them for promoting it to you. These are the same people. The world is up, man's point. But before I leave you, someone tell me why cryptocurrency shouldn't, any cryptocurrency-related business shouldn't come under the Gaming Act of the Bahamas. And the gaming operations in the Bahamas are all heavily regulated, so don't get me wrong. But the reason why I would say bring them under gaming, because they are as much chance as you going inside any of these numbers operations and playing and gambling. That's what they are. When you go to gamble, you have a chance you could win. A chance. How much chance? One in a trillion? You could win. And then you play. You're gambling. You buy a cryptocurrency on the premise that one day it's going to go, the price is going to go up and make you dead rich. What's the probability? Is it as much as when you go inside the number house and play the number and win? If the chance is the same, because there ain't no analytical protocols that you could put in place that makes this anything in the nature of portfolio investment kind of thing that I know of. Why shouldn't they be? Why shouldn't they put them under the Gaming Act? Put them under the Gaming Act. Now people know, yeah, what you going to cryptocurrency? You gambling? Yes, I'm gambling. At least you know. This all sophisticated up in this securities sector, in this financial services sector. Financial services, what? Why no gambling man is not regarded as an investor? He's hoping to get a return. You know why? Because what he's doing is so speculative, so improbable as to his win. The odds are so unlikely that he's going to win that he's regarded as a gambler. Tell me how crypto is different. I'm not talking about the cryptocurrency itself, you know. I'm talking about the speculation around the cryptocurrency and what it can do. The trading that people are doing, why is that not gambling? What would happen if these things came under the Gaming Act? You would see life different. You know, gaming regulators don't play. I'm just wondering. I'm just asking the question. Why not? Why are they not gaming? And he says, Babylon crazy. Someone say, you're right, gaming. They say according to the PM, the Bahamas' reputation will be enhanced as a result. In other words, the Bahamas will come out smelling like a rose. Okay. So you're right, gambling, therefore, should be under the Gaming Act. Yeah. This text says, great show as usual. Say, leave flowers out of this one. Flowers don't have nothing to do with this one. Flowers don't have a legitimate operation called gaming. And they know that people know that they're gaming. They know that. That's what they're doing. So they go in there with their eyes wide open. They're not going under there pretending I'm in some kind of sophisticated financial operation based on all kind of algorithms that are going to tell me when the movements are going to be here and the movements are going to be there. You're gambling. You are hoping that the numbers you pick are going to win. And sometimes you win, but the odds are you lose. But you enjoy it. It's entertainment. Why for cryptocurrency can't be the same thing? Oh, man. Yeah, no, I just have a little fun, right? So I need him to put my Christmas bonus on my account. He'll do it. You do what you got to do. He'll do what he got to do. Oh, boy. Anyway, this text says, said the standard should already be in place. And if the standard, if not followed, then there are penalties. Correct? Yes, there are standards in place in our industry. There are how is it possible for you to freeze assets with the permission of a court if you can't in law demonstrate that somebody has breached a standard you have? So I did not say that the standard will stop them. You did. I didn't say that either. I didn't say that either. I was, you know what? I'm not doing this, man. It's okay. Say, Lang, do you think we would have a near crimeless society if all crimes violated were punished with the death penalty? I think that you might have a severely reduced crime rate, yeah? That'd be draconian, but yeah. I think so. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabarba Lang, your host. If all goes well, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless you, and y'all have a great evening.
Come take my walk.